Hello and welcome to Tribal Council, a show in which two brothers, who had never seen Survivor before, started from the very beginning and have slingshotted ahead to season 44. I'm Patrick.
And I'm Chris. And this week we're going to talk about season 44, Drop the Four, Keep the Four, episode 9, Under the Wing of a Dragon. Did you say slingshotted?
Slingshotted.
Okay.
Should it have just been slingshot?
Well, I think slingshotted is maybe fine. I just, with how you said it sounded like slingshotted to me, and I was like, that's not right. But it kind of sounds fun.
Like how some people say S, but it sounds like they say ass.
Yeah, exactly like that.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So before we get into the S or the ass of the whole situation, Two things before this specific episode. One, I saw a Reddit post where somebody noted that this season has the perfect example of being a nerd versus a geek versus a dork.
Ooh, this is exciting because I saw this post and I didn't read it. So enlighten me, Chris.
It's pretty good. They said Carson, Kane, and Matt all fit pretty stereotypically into the large umbrella of a nerd. But what they think is amazing is how well they perfectly emulate the three distinct subcategories. Carson is a true nerd. He lives and breathes STEM and loves academia. He believes if he studies hard enough, he could be prepared for anything. Just look at his spreadsheets, his readings on FBI tactics, or his printed puzzles. Kane is a full-on geek. He drops fantasy references casually, relates to people through pop culture, and gets super excited over things like the sword idol and the key hunt. He is unabashedly enthusiastic about these things and isn't afraid to geek out. Matt is the dorkiest dork. Dorks are harder to explain, but it's kind of in the way they carry themselves and express themselves. There's an anxious energy to dorks that's often infectious and adorable. Unlike Carson and Kane, we don't hear Matt talk about traditionally nerdy subjects. Matt just comes off as dorky. And I was like, that sounds right. That's a pretty good explanation. I like it.
I think I agree with that explanation. I think that the editing is fitting them into those archetypes a little bit. Like, from what we've heard, Carson geeked out with Kane quite a bit about some geeky things. But we just didn't see that from Carson on the show. Which just makes me think that, like, some of that is an editing trick. Like, people mm-hmm. don't fit into boxes that simply, but they do when they're on TV.
Did you ever see the movie Ocean's 11? There's a guy in that movie that fits right into a box.
I have seen. That's fair. Yes.
So sometimes people do fit in the boxes. Not easily, though, because like they had to like one guy specifically.
What is a house except box? I'd say we're both fitting in boxes pretty well right now.
So like when you have to pack your stuff in boxes to move, it's like, hey, I'm already done.
Well, but like you need moving boxes for those things.
That's true.
Because the box that I'm right now doesn't move. Unless it does move. Some houses move.
Another thing for this week is something that I feel like should have started forever ago, but I thought it would be a fun idea. I think I thought of it. I don't know why exactly it came to mind, but the tribe name kind of spurred it in that.
Baba.
Yeah, we've been in Fiji for 4 seasons. Five, I guess. And Survivor itself has been in Fiji forever. And so I thought it'd be good to do a Fiji language lesson, learn some Fijian.
Ooh, I like Fijian. Well, I like learning languages. I guess I don't know if I like Fijian.
So
I like learning languages.
I brought, and I have prepared for a few episodes in a row, I have brought 5 vocab words this week. Now, I did not look up pronunciation videos of these, but the site I pulled these from does have like parenthetical phonetics. And so we're going to go with that. So if you want to say hello in Fijian, you can say ni sam bula, or just bula for short.
Ni sam bula. Mm-hmm. I think that the merge tribe in Survivor Fiji was bula bula, which is like hello, hello.
Yeah, there we go. So
yeah,
bula, hello.
Ni sam bula, bula bula.
To say goodbye, it is ni sa mathe, or just mathe.
Are those, is the Nisa there the same?
Yes.
Okay, is it Nisa or Nisam with an M?
So the phonetics for hello, well, it's spelled N-I space S-A. The phonetics this website gave for hello is Nisam with an M, but for goodbye is Nisa, no M.
Okay, well, that is what I thought I heard you say, and I was like, that those don't match, so I was confused. So Nisam Bula and then Nisa, what's the goodbye?
Mathe.
Nisa Mathe.
Which is spelled M-O-C-E, but the C, I guess, is pronounced more like the kind of a Barcelona sort of thing.
Mathe.
I did look up like one video and they leave off the Nisa and just say Mathe. I think Nisa might just mean like good, maybe. Because then the next one I have is good morning, which is Nisa Yandra.
Nisa Yandra. Nisa Yandra. Okay.
Mate,
Nisa Yandra.
Uh-huh. Yes is E-O.
E-O.
Or, yeah. I don't know if it's like more elided than that, like E-O. But, yeah.
Is there any like, is it a tonal language at all? Like, I couldn't tell if you just thought that was fun to say, or if you were actively saying "eo," like the tone matters.
Oh, I can't emphasize enough how little research I did on this.
Oh, okay, cool.
Just pulled this from a.
I feel like if it was tonal, the pronunciation guide would include that, assuming that it's not a bad pronunciation guide, I guess. But
yeah, and then "no" is Senga.
Senga.
So, Eo and Senga. Are you seeing what I'm sharing?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's like what the site pulled for me, or I pulled from the site. So hopefully before I re-record the next episode, I might actually look up some video pronunciations to get a better sense of it. So there we go. There's our vocab lesson for the week. Hello is Bula. Bye is Mothe. Good morning is Nisa Yandra, or just maybe Yandra. And then Eo and Senga.
I gotta say that Mate, the goodbye, that Chris shared a screen with me, and the parenthetical pronunciation I could pronounce like four different ways. I think I could say Mothy, I think I could say Mothy.
So I looked up one video and they said like Mate.
Oh, okay, cool. I feel like the EY is confusing for like an A on the end, but that's fine.
Yeah.
I was just like,
well, like the word they.
Oh, Mate. Okay, that helps. I was picturing like mother, but like mothy.
That's not anything.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe. You don't know. You don't speak Fijian.
No, I said I watched a video where Fijians were talking and it.
Yeah, but you said it's not anything. Maybe it is something.
Oh, yeah. The word for no is spelled S-E-G-A, like the Sega Genesis. So I wonder if Sega sales were real bad in Fiji because it was just called no.
Yeah.
Which, like, that half joke, half serious, like, that was a thing in Mexico. There was a car that the U.S. put out that was called, like, the Chevy Nova did not sell well in Mexico because Nova means don't go.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. That does make sense.
That could be just, like, what do you call it? Like, a fake story that's, like, like a myth that's traveled.
Urban legend.
Yeah, but I have heard that.
Yeah, no, I've also heard that story. So well,
there you go.
Yeah,
must be maybe true.
No Genesis.
Okay. So there we go. There's our language lesson. Listeners, I'll quiz you next week. You gotta know it.
I only remember like three of those. No, I remember four. Okay. I have to remember good morning.
Nisa Yandra.
Nisa Yandra. Okay.
Yandra. All right, let's get into this episode. Under the Wing of a Dragon. We start off after tribal. Danny's happy that everything last week went according to plan, getting Brandon voted out with the idol use. And it's now down to like 3 Tika, 3 Soka, and 3 Ratu people. Lauren talks to the camera about she knew that they needed to split the vote, but Brandon said not to split it. She feels like she's in the majority with the Ratu and the Tika people, which what we saw last week is exactly what Tika wanted Ratu to feel like, was that Tika was kind of siding with Ratu even though they were actually siding with Soka. And
there's an interesting thing throughout all of that of I think when they're talking about maybe we should have split the vote, they thought that they had all of the Tikas with them, so they thought it was like 7-3, and they could have split it like 4-3, maybe.
Well, that's exactly what Lauren, I think, was saying, yeah.
But they only saw 6 Franny votes, and so they didn't see 3 Brandon votes because they didn't have to read the last one. But I would think that they would do the math and realize that there were 4 Brandon votes and realize that it was not 7-3.
Right.
Like, because splitting the vote wouldn't have mattered. If they would have put 4 on Franny and 3 on someone else, Brandon still would have gone home.
Yeah, and that might have been something that maybe she realized eventually. This was like the night after Tribal, and so maybe it just hadn't processed. She hadn't processed it fully yet or something.
Yeah, that's fair.
Jam Jam says he's working with Soka and just trying to play Ratu. He's feeling good. He says, quote, "I'm a little James Bond, you know, 00.
Yeah.
And he corrects himself. He's like, oh, wait, no, that's not right. He does note that Brandon had put his name down at one point, and that's why he's gone. Yeah. So we move into the next day, and people are out looking for idols. Since Danny played the idol, it often gets rehidden pretty quickly, and so they are looking for it. Kane's looking for it and says, quote, "I put my business pants on, and I'm going to work."
It does make it seem like Danny is mostly looking for the idol, and then everyone else is like, well, fuck it, we should all just look then. Like, it kind of seems like a trend that Danny is starting.
The first person they show looking is Kane.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, then, yeah, that is kind of a thing of just like everybody's like, well, if they're going to be looking, we might as well look too. Danny has a confessional. He says that he could have gone defensive and let Franny go. But he knows that like moves need to be made to win the game. And so that's part of the reason why he did what he did. He says he has a looking system. He checks 5 trees, brings firewood back, and then repeats as a way to like not seem like he's obviously looking for idols, but they all know he's looking for idols anyways.
It's a really great moment where he brings back another pile of wood and Franny's just like, man, you're really good at finding firewood, huh?
Yeah.
And like, it doesn't seem like he clocks what she's saying, but it seems clear to me that she's like, we know what you're doing, Danny.
Yeah. Well, and you could also interpret it as like a dig of like, you're not good at finding idols. You are good at finding firewood.
Oh, even yeah.
He is good at, I mean, he is good at finding idols because he just saved her with one. But we get a confessional of Jamie, like giggling in excitement at how excited she is that she has an idol, which... It is unfortunate. This is going to be, I mean, this is a spoiler for the end of the episode, because from what we know, Kane had the idol, had her fake idol when he got voted out. And so it's another fake that's just like going away, and we don't actually see somebody get to try to play a fake idol, which I want to see happen. But
this one, I don't know that it had many, I don't know that it mattered very much. And so I feel like the fact that they showed it and talked about it so much makes me think that it will matter in some way. That like next week it's going to be a thing that like Jamie doesn't have her idol anymore. Like that she thought that she had an idol and she doesn't anymore. Like I feel like they could have just cut that whole storyline and nothing would have mattered. And so I feel like there has to be some way that it still matters in the future.
Yeah. I'm curious about that because it being a fake, in Kane's exit interview, he said he didn't even find out it was a fake until like way later. Like he did not find out when he went to Ponderosa it was a fake. Like it was a while before he found out it was a fake. But he wouldn't say when. It was like a weird thing. So maybe it's a
that
maybe
is she makes it
me. Maybe she makes it to Final Tribal and tries to like tout it as a something on her resume, and then somebody else is like, that was a fake. And that's how he finds out or something.
Yeah, but I don't know how anyone else would know either. So I'm
the person who hit it. Who's the one who hit it?
Matthew, who was evacuated. Or not evacuated, but he quit.
Yeah.
So like no one knows, as far as we know.
Right.
No one in the game knows that was fake.
Yeah.
So he did in his exit interview, he said, like, I'm not gonna say how I found out, but it wasn't at Ponderosa. And I'm right. Like, that makes it seem like it still matters in some way. So yeah. I'm just clocking that as like, something's going to happen with this weird fake idol that got, maybe they all realize that it doesn't get rehidden or something. I'm not sure.
Or it's, he didn't go away with it. Like they've done that before where we'll get another flashback the right before Tribal. They decided to like pass it back to Jamie or something, like, or pass it to somebody else. So he might not.
But
have
he did say in his exit interview that he had it, which, like,
okay,
maybe he was lying, but he, like, he said, like, it was a relief because I thought about
he didn't try to play it. Yeah,
I didn't.
So while they're all looking for idols, Heidi finds the idol,
which was very anticlimactic. Also,
it was because
like,
Heidi's
they were, like, going between lots of different people, and Heidi didn't really seem like she was looking, and then apparently she was, and also.
She's
no one's targeting Heidi right now, right. So like that was very disappointing.
Yeah, so she has an idol that lasts until there are five players left. It shows some of them just hanging out, playing around, playing I Spy, and just connecting with each other, relaxing. Carolyn tells some of her background, how she just celebrated 13 years sober, and she's proud of herself and how much she's like overcome and grown and stuff, and gets to spend time with her kid and her kid seeing her sober and not addicted or anything like that.
Yeah, her fiance, I think she said, is also in recovery and like is sober and everything. So she said mm-hmm. that they together, their son like will never see that side of them. And that was a very touching story, very cool. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you're still listening to Jeff Probst's podcast on air,
mm-hmm.
on fire. But a producer there mentioned that when they cast Carolyn, she was pretty vocal about like, this is my story. I'm not sure if I'll ever want to talk about this on the island or talk about it on the show, but like, this is who I am. And I might never get to that point. And so she was like, but she did. She told everyone about it, and she like was fine with us sharing it on the show, which I just thought was a cool point because like I feel like that has been a key component of who Carolyn has been, but we haven't seen her talking about it with other contestants very much.
Right.
And so it is cool that like the show very much was like, yeah, you can tell people or you cannot, and that's totally up to you. And like that was a real candid moment with like her opening up to her tribe.
Did it make you nervous that she was going to go home this episode because they were showing so much of that?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. I was hoping for it because I got to get your team dwindled down. We go to the next day. Carson still is not feeling great, not really throwing up anymore. He's just tired. Pretty much everybody's talking about how hungry they are, how much they're starving. Tree Mail hints that they will be able to negotiate for rice at the challenge. And so they talk about this ahead of time. And like Carson says, he would maybe sit out. Others kind of agree with him. Danny is against it. He's like, we're here to play, which Lauren also says. He calls it out to everybody like, hey, we're 3 versus 3 versus 3 right now. We should all play. Let's be the season that says we're players. And so we go to the challenge where it is pouring rain. It's windy. It's cold. The challenge is going to be them standing on a small block holding this like bouncing a ball against a piece of wood with this like round holder thing above their head. And they start the discussion of who might sit out. Jeff says he wants 4 people, which Lauren said, Lauren's the first one to say that she'll sit out. Carson quickly follows. Danny says he won't vote for sit outs, scout's honor. Carson agrees with this. Carolyn agrees with this.
Carson has a really fun moment where he's like, yeah, I mean, like, I know I'm one of the people volunteering to sit out, but I won't vote for us either.
Yeah. Kane finally says he'll sit out, and then Heidi says she'll sit out. It was close. Like, it was almost to a point where there was going to be everybody was going to have to compete, it seemed like, with no rice. And so Jamie, Danny, Franny, Carolyn, and Jam Jam are competing, and Franny wins the challenge. It comes down to her versus Danny, and she pulls out the win.
This is also a hellish challenge. Like, the challenge itself is fine, but it is pouring rain the whole time. And mm-hmm. so, therefore, it is awful. This, like, looks so miserable.
Which I don't think it lasts super long. Like, we don't actually get a time at the end, but I think it's, like, less than half an hour.
Yeah, I agree. But still, it's, like, half an hour of just standing in the same spot without moving in the pouring rain, balancing on 1 foot. Really terrible.
Yeah. So, we get a lot of time back at camp talking strategy. They feast on some rice. Kane says he doesn't trust that sit-outs won't be voted for, which that whole idea basically gets thrown out pretty quickly. Or, like, not even talked about again, really. It's just, like, understood that anybody's fair game. There's just, like, lots of strategy that goes around. Heidi suggests Kane. They want to get Jamie to flush the idol. Then Carson tells Jamie that Soka is saying her name. And so she's like, maybe we split between Danny and Heidi. Lauren wants Danny gone. She's worried he might have an idol because he was looking for idol. Everybody was looking for idols. And so that they should split the vote. So they talk about splitting between Danny and Heidi. Franny suggests that Soka votes Jam Jam and Ratu votes Carolyn. She wants to like split between those two. And Danny does not like this idea. He says working with Ratu instead of Soka, like working with Ratu is sleeping under the wing of a dragon.
And that's the name of the episode, which was a bad name of the episode. Like, can we talk about that first? Like, it's a cool phrase, but I don't understand why it was like thematic for the episode, you know? Like he says, yeah, like doing this plan that they ended up not doing would be like doing this thing. And like then they didn't do that plan, and I'm not sure why that's the name of the episode.
Maybe they were just so excited it was a like Dungeons and Dragons reference with the theme that they didn't bring up themselves. They were like, oh, we got to do that.
Yeah, I was just like when I heard it, I was like, oh, maybe they are going to team up against Tika because that's the name of the episode. And so maybe they're going to do that. Or maybe there's like a later theme of like Tika's really the dragon and like Danny teaming up with Tika is actually the more dangerous move.
It might be. Like, I think
I agree that it is.
I mean, I could see it both ways. Like, Tyson talked about on his podcast that he thought, like, Danny should have listened to Franny here. I can see it both ways. Like, I almost think it would be smart now for them to team up with Ratu, like, knock off one more Rat, like, knock off Kane, and then now pull Lauren and Jamie in to take out Tika.
Yeah, but are they going to be able to do that, or is Tika going to be able to do that?
Right. I don't know.
Because Ratu has been like against Soka this whole time, and maybe Tika can be like, hey, yeah, sorry about that. Here's why, blah, 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 blah. Like, Kane was going against Jam Jam for a while, so now let's go against Soka.
Yeah.
Which is a little bit easier when, like, Franny and Danny keep doing really well at challenges, and it's like, hey, y'all, they're on Soka. Let's team up against Franny and Danny.
Yeah. So really, like, at the end of all of this strategy talk at camp, I had no idea where this tribal council was going to go.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. After the tribal council, I was like, I have no idea what just happened. So I think I understand it now, but it took me a while because this was a really confusing vote.
There is a shot, the final shot we see before going to tribal council is a shot of Danny flossing, doing the dance, the floss. Mm-hmm. That was fun. They immediately talk at tribal council about how voting for sit-outs thing was not real. Jeff says, I did hear Danny say scout's honor. And Danny says, yeah, I'm not a scout, Jeff. I was surprised this somewhat wasn't brought up a little bit more. I would have thought Carolyn might have struggled with saying she wouldn't vote for a sit-out. Who did she end up actually voting for?
Let's see. She voted for Kane.
She voted for Kane, who was a sit-out. So I was kind of surprised just because, I don't know, it just seemed like something that Carolyn might have like struggled with since she said she wouldn't vote for a sit-out, and then she did anyways. Nothing against her for like, if it wasn't an issue, whatever. It seemed like something with her personality that she would have maybe hesitated to be like, okay, voting for, like, be cool voting for Kane, even though she said she wouldn't.
Yeah, we did see a lot of...
You know what? I'm sorry. I'm interrupting you. The show kind of answered this because I typed that in my notes. And then Carolyn talked to Tribal. She said the not voting for sit-outs didn't really come up because after eating the rice, they felt like humans again and it like completely changed them. And so it was just like completely different people. And so that was like kind of her answer to that, I think.
Yeah. We did see that Carolyn really wanted to vote for Danny and Jam Jam really wanted to vote for Kane, and they wanted to vote together. So we saw like she didn't want to vote for Kane, but was persuaded because of her alliance with Jam Jam.
Yeah, okay.
So I don't know if that's like, she says that it's because Kane's not really a threat, which I agree with her on. Like, I think that this was a poor move on their part. But
I think this was a numbers move more than a person move. It was like trying to just dwindle Ratu down.
Yeah, but I think it was a vendetta move against Kane. I think Jam Jam is going after everybody that ever voted for him.
Yeah, but like in their strategy talk, Heidi was the first one they showed us mentioning Kane. Like, that was the first name thrown out, was Heidi suggesting Kane.
Yeah, I think that Sokka was targeting Kane, but Tika could choose. Basically, like, Tika got to decide who went home this episode.
Yeah. Some people start whispering and then getting up. We get a live tribal, our first live tribal of the season.
Yeah.
I said, oh boy, but also like, it's like somewhat exciting, but also not, because you don't really know what's going on. It's just like people whispering shit to each other.
I feel like in some live tribals, there's more, it's like easier to follow, where this one was like, everyone was whispering to everyone and they gave us like no subtitles. And so it was not very interesting, because I was like, I'm not sure what's happening here, which was the editor's intent, I think. Like, it was to create more like uncertainty in the audience, except that I was already very uncertain of what was going to happen, so I would have liked more of that info.
Yeah. We see them vote. Jamie uses Lauren's extra vote, which we didn't talk about before, but they were worried about
knowledge is power
being out there and somebody being able to like steal idols and stuff like that, which Jeff talked about on his podcast too, about how there isn't a knowledge is power right now, but because it has existed in the past, its power is still like having control over games because people are worried about it, and that's affecting moves. And so that's where Kane is holding onto Jamie's idol, and then Lauren gave Jamie her extra vote. And so she uses it here. No idols end up getting played, and Kane gets voted out 5-3-1-1, which is not a vote Agami. That has happened once before.
Oh, interesting. So I think
he looked pissed. He looked quite mad. Oh. In his final line leaving, he says jokingly, but I'm pretty sure he is pretty pissed off, was, enjoy your rice, you bitches.
Yeah, which was a good line. Mm-hmm. I think that what happened here is that Ratu thought that Tika was on their side, and so they and Tika were splitting the vote between Danny and Heidi, and then Sokka thought that Tika was on their side, and they were splitting the vote between Kane and Lauren? Jamie? Who else got votes there?
Heidi got two votes from Jamie, and then Franny voted Jamie.
Jamie, yeah.
Lauren voted so Sokka, Heidi.
And Sokka thought they were splitting between Kane and Jamie. And then, so Tika kind of got to decide, like, are they going with the Sokka plan of splitting votes, or are they going with the Ratu plan of splitting votes? And they went with the Sokka plan and got Kane out.
Yeah, and they didn't split it.
That's like, how so many...
All three Tika people voted Kane.
Right, but the Sokka people voted Jamie.
Right. Well, no. Franny voted Jamie. She was the only one that voted Jamie. Heidi. Jamie voted Heidi. And then Kane voted Danny. So the three Sokka people voted three different people. Or the three Ratu people. Wait, no. I'm sorry. I got confused. Because Franny's on Sokka. Yeah. Okay. Lauren. Yeah, Lauren and Jamie voted Heidi. And then Kane voted Danny. So I guess they split between Heidi and Danny.
Yeah, but then the Sokka people, Danny, Franny, Heidi...
voted Kane or Jamie. One person voted Jamie. Yeah. So I think that was just a Ratu. Yeah. It was. Yeah. I think there was some plans in there, but then also the live tribal probably confused the people, and I bet it changed up. Like, some people weren't exactly sure which plan they were going with.
I also wonder if Tika was like, we want Kane to go, but if it's not Kane, if he plays an idol, we don't really want it to be Jamie, so we don't want to go full in on that split vote plan. Like, we'll pour all of ours onto Kane, so that second place, if he plays an idol, is Ahsoka, because that's second best scenario for us, mm-hmm. or something like that. So they, like, manipulated that, maybe. Yeah, it was a weird one, but yeah. Kane's gone. Kane, who on all three of our fantasy tribes, so doesn't actually affect our fantasy at all, but kind of does.
It did get a bunch of votes out there, which means I think at this point Carson and Lauren are maybe the only ones who have not been voted for ever. But I might have misread something there.
No, I'm pretty sure that's correct. It also got out the extra vote that Lauren has been targeted for in the past, or been talked about in the past, and Jamie's idol. So now the only things in the game are Heidi's new idol and Carolyn's idol, I believe.
Yes, and tons of shot in the darks. Jamie has used her shot in the dark. Nobody else has. But yeah, only extra things are Carolyn and Heidi both have real idols. The preview for next week, Jamie says the era of alliances is over. Carson says he has to decide who he's betraying. Lauren might be working with Danny. So kind of seems like there's maybe a shakeup in some alliances, but it might be more of just like Carson's talking about who Tika is going to ally with, Ratu or Sokka. And then Ratu's trying to figure out like, maybe if they, like Lauren or Jamie, trying to figure out if they can join up with somebody else. Yeah. Oh, why did I write this down? Oh, I think I noted this down because I feel like we haven't gotten a lot from Jamie, but she could be like a sleeper contestant that ends up doing better. This is from the exit interview with Kane. They asked, what was the name of your alliance? For Kane, Lauren, and Jamie, he said, we were triple R. We called ourselves that because we'd say real eyes, realize, real lies. Then we'd go and we'd be little lie detectors moving around the camp and everyone lied to us. It didn't end up working out, but I would move all my information through Jamie to try and verify because she was very close with Tika as well. She was playing a good social game.
Which is like not the impression that I get of Jamie at all.
Right. Yeah, and so that's why I noted it, to see like if it ends up being something like the Erica season where we didn't see a whole lot of stuff from Erica during parts of the season. Just any evidence I can find to kind of pull out for later. Predictions. We predicted that I predicted Kane would go home, and I was correct.
Yeah.
And we predicted that Carolyn or Kane would say the episode title, and we were wrong there. That was Danny. Our next episode title is called Full Tilt Boogie.
I could see this being like a couple different people.
I think it's only going to be one person though.
I mean, yeah. Uh-huh. Do you have a thought of who that one person is going to be? Or should I jump in with a claim?
You can jump in.
Danny.
Yeah, that's who I was kind of thinking. He's already had two episode titles though. I'll say Jam Jam.
I also thought about saying Jeff, but I don't know if he would say Boogie.
Yeah. Yeah, it didn't feel right for Jeff. And then the next.
I think it's going to be Carson.
Oh, interesting.
I think that Lauren and Danny thing is they are like, okay, fine, we need to team up and take out Atika. And Carson was supposed to be like, because he had swapped into Ratu, I think that they thought that he was like fully with them. And they're going to be like, yeah, no, he's been playing us this whole time. He's way too smart. He's too good at this game. Fuck Carson.
I'm going to kind of do the flip side of that and go with Carson unifying people to get Danny out.
I'm okay with either of those options happening.
And our final three will stay the final three. Those have not changed. I've got Franny, Lauren, Jam Jam, and Patrick has Lauren, Jam Jam, Danny.
And Nate still has Lauren alive.
Nate still has Lauren. Lauren, who is that what I saw? I was about to say, I think she's had the least amount of time in confessionals, but that might not be right. I feel like Heidi's got to have less than her.
Heidi must have less, right? Although Heidi may have had a lot with that whole control of vote thing. But Lauren won immunity and got a bunch from that, so.
I'm not finding it right away. That's okay. Overall, like season stuff, we finally had a live tribal, which I predicted there would be two. Nate predicted three, Patrick four. So I'm still the closest for that so far. We have a new idol in the game, which there's some confusion in our notes here. Do you know the clarification for this? Did you see my note about this? For idols in the game total, the number already said seven, but there was only six names. And now adding Heidi, there's seven names.
I think that we accidentally erased Josh's name instead of crossing it out. Because Josh had an idol at one point.
Okay, so we are up to eight idols for the season so far, which Nate is will have won this one by being closest. He had guessed 7, but he had the highest guess, so he will be the closest here. And that's the only updates on those. Kane leaving with 5 votes against them is a new number there. We've had people leave from Medivac, Acquit, and then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 7 votes against them. So lots of variety there, which is fun.
I also saw something that still up to this point, all season, we have not had a tribal where everyone had 1 vote and all of them counted. Because there was an extra vote used this time. And so they've all either had like an idle play or someone missing a vote or an extra vote or something happening where votes didn't count or there were extra votes. We've never just had everyone has 1 vote and they're all fine.
Gotcha. Okay. You got any luxury items this week?
Yeah, but did we mention that there are our totals for fantasy?
Oh, no, I forgot about that. And we have to pick an MVP. MVP? I forgot about that too. Huh.
I have my MVP ready.
Oh, I don't. Okay. 3, 2, 1. Heidi.
Jam. Oh.
I'm going with Heidi because she found the idol. So she's got an idol.
And what else did she do, Chris?
As for the strategy they showed, she was the first one to mention Kane going home, and that's the plan that happened.
Oh, okay. That's fair. I said Jam Jam because I said earlier that I think that Chica decided who went home this time and that Jam Jam and Carolyn disagreed and Jam Jam got his way and wanted Kane out because Kane wrote his name down previously. So I feel like Jam Jam got to decide who went home and made it happen. If he would have gone with Carolyn and voted Danny out, Danny would have gone home. It's Jam Jam's fault, I guess, that Kane's gone, I think.
Yeah. Cool. So that puts us with Nate still in the lead with 1,519. Patrick has 1,455 and I have 1,314. So we're about 200 points between first and last here. Patrick has 3 people left on his team. Nate and I each only have 2 people left on our teams.
That when I was putting in the points for this episode, everyone basically had between 24, 23 was the lowest and 35, with this less people, everyone gets closer amounts of screen time.
Yeah. That makes sense.
I'm man, me having 3 people left is going to be a little boost every time, I think, if that continues. So I'm hopeful for that. Hopefully, yeah. I can edge out Nate.
I mean, there's only going to be 3 more episodes?
4 more, I think. Final 8, final 7, final 6, and then usually the finale is the final 5.
Is it? I thought last season the finale was 6. Maybe it was 5.
Because the Cody vote was 6.
Okay.
And then we had the Carla vote, the Jesse fire making, and then the final tribal council.
All right. You got a luxury item?
Yes. I'm going to say escape rooms. I did an escape room with some friends for my birthday, because it was also my birthday last week. And I did an escape room on Friday night with some friends, and man, it was a good time. I've only done 4 or 5 escape rooms in my life, but they're so fun every time. This one was particularly fun. There was a bonus room that opened up halfway through. And we had to reassemble a man's corpse so that he could get to heaven to find his wife, which sounds very confusing. But in the lore of this escape room, you can't go to heaven if you have missing body parts, apparently. So he was trapped in hell until we reassembled his body and conjured his soul or something. I don't know. It was a good time. So escape rooms. Solve some puzzles.
Cool.
Hang out with friends. Good time.
I want to do another escape room. I did one time with you and some people in Pittsburgh. It was great.
That one was
want to do more.
This one that I just did, that one is probably the favorite one that I've ever done. And then this one that we did last week is probably tied with it. Other ones that I've done have been less good, but
how does that work out? You just said it's the favorite one you've ever done, but then this one's tied with it. So it's also the favorite.
Yes, like both top. Okay. I'm just saying, like, that one was very good, and I kind of was like, yeah, this is what escape rooms are like, and then I've done other ones that are not as good, and that was disappointing. So, like, this one met that level, I think. I just want you to know, if you're going to go do other escape rooms, that, like, they're not all as good as that Pittsburgh one.
Well, except for around Seattle, there's one apparently called Locurio, which Adil Rafai, who's done like 100 escape rooms, said is like one of his favorites ever. So,
oh yeah, find that one. I've heard of that one. So we should go when I come up to Seattle,
because Adil Rafai told us about it.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go for my luxury item with the Evil Dead movie franchise. So I'm a huge horror fan. I don't know that I've brought that many horror things to this. I think I talked about Scream maybe a few weeks ago. Evil Dead is like Evil Dead 2 is one of my like favorite horror movies of all time. If you're not familiar with the Evil Dead franchise, it started like in the 80s. Sam Raimi is like the director of the original trilogy of the Evil Dead franchise, who he went on, you would know him probably better for doing the original Spider-Man 1, 2, and 3 with Tobey Maguire. He also did the Marvel movie, the Doctor Strange.
And the Multiverse of Madness.
Multiverse of Madness one. He's done all sorts of fun stuff. But Evil Dead, great movie. The first Evil Dead stars Bruce Campbell. It was done very, very cheaply. And so then they made Evil Dead 2, where they actually had some money, and so they kind of did it as like a remake of a movie, but also like kind of a sequel. So it's like a weirdly a remake and a sequel. And then the third one is Army of Darkness, which takes place in like medieval times.
I didn't realize that Army of Darkness is in that same world, huh?
Yeah, because the end of Evil Dead 2, they get sucked through a portal to medieval times, or Ash does, and a dead, I believe. In like 2013, maybe, there was a different director who came on and did a new Evil Dead movie that's very good. It's very, very good. And then this last weekend, a new one came out, also from a different director, but produced with Sam Raimi, called Evil Dead Rise, which I just saw yesterday, and it was very fun. Some pretty graphic violence in it, but very, very fun. I enjoyed it a lot.
There's also a TV series, Ash vs. the Evil Dead, right?
There is. I have not actually seen all of that series. I've seen like a few episodes. I've heard that's very good. I just, for whatever reason, it was on a weird streaming service back when I was only on like one or two streaming services. But now that I have like so many, I should probably get back into it. All right, cool. Listeners, let us know if you think somebody needs to have all of their limbs attached to go to heaven. You can let us know by emailing us at tribalcouncilpodcast@gmail.com or tweet at us at tribalcouncil20. And as a heads up, Patrick and I are starting to record like season 15 of Survivor, a little behind the scenes here, for over the summer, because those are like multiple episodes and stuff. So if you want to start watching season 15 to get caught up, so that way when those episodes start dropping in like a month or so, now could be a time that you start going through season 15. We're going to hopefully this summer go through like seasons 15, 16, 17. And so, yeah, start watching those old ones. And
for I don't know if you're aware of this, Chris, but like 15, 16, and 17 are all often noted as like some of the best seasons. So I'm really, really excited for what we're about to get into.
We'll see. I got to keep my hopes
lowered. Lessons.
Yeah. Something. Down. Yeah. Tempered. For this week at Tribal Council, this is Chris signing off.
This is Patrick.
And the tribe has spoken.
Oi, 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 oi.